me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Today, a special in-depth original investigative report on Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, and how they're challenging, denigrating, trying to destroy confidence in energy healing, energy medicine. Specifically, we're going to take a look at Professor Lekowitz. He is the Harvard-trained Harvard professor who has inspired many psychologists, psychiatrists, and physicians to start looking at body-mind relationships. Well, we went to the task of looking at all the peer-reviewed literature, and I'll be reporting on how, on the side of Lekowitz and all the other people using it, lots of peer-reviewed science. On behalf of Jimmy Wales and Wikipedia, not so much. In fact, nothing. How do they get away with it? A special report. Also today, the latest on health and healing. And I'm going to look at things like mangoes and what effect they have on one specific condition. And then, time permitting, I'll take your questions. I don't know how many I can get to. It'll depend upon what your questions are, and then we'll go from there. And so we're going to begin with the latest on health and healing, and this comes from the University of California, Davis. It's about mangoes. Mangoes, according to this review, is very good for high blood pressure. Now consider how many tens of millions of Americans have high blood pressure. It also is good for improving blood glucose levels. So you got hypertension, which is high blood pressure, and you have elevated glucose, which is diabetes or prediabetes. It helps both conditions. And that's a study out of the University of California, Davis, confirmed eating mangoes can lower blood pressure naturally. They arrived at this conclusion by performing a study with postmenopausal women who were asked to consume 2 servings of mango, that's about 330 grams, that's not a lot, per day for 14 days. And so it's rich in polyphenols, that's one of the nutrients our cells need, and at the end of that study, they found that there was a substantial relaxation in the blood vessels within just 2 hours of eating a mango. Now compare that to eating a hamburger, a hot dog, a pizza, sugar, which can depress your immune system, much of your immune system, by up to 50% for the next 6 hours, depending upon how much sugar and what kind of sugar you consume. So a mango is actually relaxing your blood vessels, allowing the blood to flow more evenly and smoothly through, whereas the saturated fats and the heterocyclic amines and the other carbohydrate-inducing inflammatory agents, all that is bad for the arteries and can constrict the arteries, as does alcohol as well. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition and Metabolic Insights. From the University of Tübingen, which is in Germany, researchers have discovered how sleep can fight infection. They discovered why sleep can sometimes be the best medicine. Why? Because sleep improves the potential ability of some of the body's immune cells to attach to their targets. And this was published in the Journal of Experimental Medicine. And that's good. So if you want to help fight infections of any kind, get a good night's sleep. Whereas other conditions, like chronic stress, can make the body more susceptible to illness. The T cells, those are a type of white blood cell that are critical for the body's immune response. And when T cells recognize a specific target, like a cell infected with a virus, they activate a sticky protein known as integrins, I-N-T-E-R-I-N-G-S, and that allows them to attach to their target, and in the case of a virally infected cell, it kills it. And while much is known about the signals that activate integrins, signals that might dampen the ability of T cells to attach to their targets are less well understood. So they decide to investigate the effects of a diverse group of signaling molecules, and what they found was that when you're sleeping and you're getting a good night's sleep, your immune system is better able to impact the T cells and to activate their integrins and attach to target cells, and that's what they came up with. So, a good night's sleep can help you overcome infections. Diets consisting of fewer calories, something I've been talking about, improve cell performance, not just longevity. This is the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil, and what it showed was the number of calories that you consume directly influences the performance of different cells. And it shows that a low-calorie meal, that would be a big salad, have a protective effect against some diseases. And this was presented at a scientific conference in London just this week. And the study was conducted under the auspices of the Center for Research in Redox Processes in Biomedicine. And by the way, Redox, REDOXOME, is one of the research, innovative, and dissemination centers. So what they're saying is this, in just lay language, when you eat a healthy meal, a plant-based meal, it's going to be low in calories. The vast majority are. You could have some that are higher if you have a nut butter, like an almond butter, or peanut butter, walnut butter. Yeah, you're going to have some more calories, but they're healthy. Or you could have avocado. There's going to be a little more calories in avocado. But that really is not in the same league as when you have a hamburger, or fried food, or potato chips, or french fries. Those are very high in calories and low in essential nutrients. And so when you have not a spiking of your insulin from the pancreas, and you have calorie restriction, that improves cells' response to increased levels of blood glucose. So you're better able to deal with blood glucose when you're on a lower calorie diet. So it's that simple. And you're going to live a longer life based upon all the other things that we have shared with you. Additionally, there is new research showing that the lychee, L-Y-C-H-E-E, fruit, found to be a potent source of anti-tumor compounds. This is from the University of Palermo, which is in Italy. And some of you, I'm sure, grow lychee. I grow lychee. It's very easy to grow. And by the way, if you have some seasons where you get a whole tree full of lychee and some years you get none at all, don't be concerned. It can go through different cycles depending upon the weather and also whether or not you're fertilizing it. I suggest you fertilize lychee every 2 months. And you can make your own compost from food that, instead of throwing it away, compost it, let it biodegrade down. And then it becomes really enriched soil, fertilizer. Then you put that around a tree out to what is known as the drip line. See, most people make the mistake of putting fertilizer, generally in like mill organite that I do not recommend using, around the base of a tree. You never do that. You always put your fertilizer at the drip line, meaning when the leaves and the branches have water and they're dripping down, that's where the root system is. So it might be 6 feet, 8 feet, 15 feet from the base of the tree. But that way you're nourishing the roots, and that's where the nourishment has to go. Tiny little hair-like follicles bring in those minerals and take them up through the tree. So if the more you fertilize with healthy fertilizer, the more likely you are to have a good bearing fruit. And then if you have bees that pollinate, then it actually is much better to get fruit going and much larger fruit. I have one tree this year that had over 900 mangoes on it. Now, it was just loaded with mangoes. And I've had a plum tree that didn't bloom once in 10 years and bloomed and was full of 200 to 300 plums. These are cycles that are impacted by the weather, the amount of rain. If it's too wet, then it won't bloom the same as if it's drier. In any case, the lychee is a fruit that has a hard, bumpy red skin that can be easily peeled away. And inside is a soft, white, jelly-like, juicy pulp and a large, brown, inedible seed. Aside from its sweet and juicy taste, there are some really good things that happen with that fruit. A recent study finds that different parts of the lychee fruit contain anti-tumor compounds and can potentially prevent different types of cancers. Researchers from the University of Palermo in Italy conducted comprehensive analysis on the anti-tumor properties of the various parts of lychee, and they reviewed previous research on the anti-tumor compounds that lychee and its different parts contain. By the way, lychee is also called Chinese cherry. It's a fruit fruit tree that was originally cultivated in China over 2,300 years ago. And then you also find it in North Vietnam. And it's now grown in tropical areas everywhere in the world. And you see lychees all over the place in China and India and Thailand and Vietnam. And it's packed with vitamins, minerals, but it can also boost your endurance and workouts. So having some lychee juice from concentrate is really good. And its inedible parts, including its skin and seed, can inhibit tumor growth. And they found that the lychee pulp contains polysaccharides, which have a strong antioxidant capacity and also anti-tumor and immunomodulatory. So it's good for your immune system, turns off inflammation, and helps fight cancer. And it contains, what I mentioned a moment ago, polyphenols. And poly, P-O-L-Y, meaning many, and phenols, P-H-E-N-O-L-S, these are packed with nutrients, and they can help in cancer prevention. And the role of polysaccharides in preventing tumor growth was found in an in vitro study of lung adenocarcinoma in cervical cancer and hepatocellular cancer carcinoma. And it also helps because it contains what is called a galactose and mannose, and that have anti-tumor effects on gastric, liver, and lung cancers. And moreover, in laboratory experiments, the pulp extract prevented liver damage, and the peel, although inedible, contains flavonoids and anthocyanins that exhibit antioxidant properties, as well as anti-cancer. So, if you want a really good fruit, lychees. And you can get the lychee juice almost anywhere. It's not expensive. Also, scientists prove differences between expected and actual outcomes cause rewards response when listening to music. This is from McGill University. So if you love it when a musician strikes that unexpected but perfect chord, you're not alone. New research shows the musically unexpected activates the reward center of our brains and makes us learn about the music as we listen. So that's good. Just something different. And finally, saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N-N, is found to promote wound healing. This is from Shiraz University in Iran. And the plant is very powerful. It's just one of the most powerful healing plants in the world. And it's expensive. You don't need a lot of it. It comes in tiny little threads. It's got these little red stigmas. And it originates from a flower called saffron crocus. And each flower only produces 3 threads, and it blooms for only 1 week per year. It is also harvested by hand in the mid-morning when the flowers are still closed, as the stigmas inside are delicate. This makes the spice expensive. It's also prized for its many health benefits. And as I've mentioned in previous programs, it can help ward off cancer. It can promote learning and strengthen our memory. It increases vitality. It promotes hair growth and protects against the cold. And in this latest study, they found that saffron also contains crocin, C-R-O-C-I-N, and picrocrocin, and saffronol, and these are chemicals that are really good for wide spectrum of diseases. So bring some bring some saffron into your life and have a better night's sleep, have a stronger immune system. One other thing from Wake Forest University Medical Center, published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. A daily glass of beet juice improves endurance and blood pressure. Enough said. Let's get the beet juice going. And for men, if you suffer from erectile dysfunction, if you have yourself a simple 12-ounce glass of beet juice about an hour before you want to have an erection, it sure does make a difference. It has nitric oxide, and it produces in the body, and that's some of the same mechanisms that some of these very expensive sexual enhancement pills do. But it's natural, and there's no side effects. For joggers, for people with heart disease, definitely take beet juice before you go out for workout. Thins the blood, increases the circulation, can help prevent a heart attack. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment with a special in-depth report. Please stay with us.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly.
The Righteous Brothers. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to share with you a continuation of our deconstructing the myth that Wikipedia and its co-founder Jimmy Wells are objective, fair-minded, that they do not seek on any level to harm other people's reputation or to create disdain or disbelief that particular therapies have any value. Just the opposite is true. They've been on a rampage of character assassination, destroying people's careers, because when a publisher wants to publish a book of an author, they'll go to see anything on that published that author. If you're negatively profiled on Wikipedia, good luck trying to find a publisher. But it can affect all other forms of your life as well. But then we decided to take a look at Jimmy Wells in Wikipedia and a group called the Skeptics. And we found a lot of information that the average supporter of Wikipedia probably is not aware of. And we're bringing it to your attention. And every article that I'm reading you, we send to the entire legal team and the board of directors of Wikimedia. That should give them a red flag of what's coming, if they have any brains at all. I know what's coming. They don't. You'll get the idea. So this is the article with Helen Beniski and myself. It's fully vetted. All of its references and statements have been independently verified for accuracy, and unlike Wikipedia, expertise in the field and objectivity. It is entitled Jimmy Wells and Wikipedia's Hate Campaign Against Holistic Healing. This is from the mind of Jimmy Wells. This is what he said to the entire alternative health community. Quote, "What we don't do is pretend that the work of lunatic charlatans is the equivalent of true scientific discourse. It isn't." Okay. So let me put this in perspective. Over the past 50 years, there have been individuals in all walks of science and medicine and public health care who have looked for the best ways of helping people who have conditions, both in prevention and treatment. They're looking for ways that do not harm the person, that are not expensive. And it's from this that a growing body of individuals have chosen to also do more than their orthodox traditional treatments. They're using other protocols. It might be vitamin C or herbs They may look at something in homeopathy or Ayurvedic, traditional Indian medicine, thousands of years old, or even older still, by double that, is traditional Chinese medicine. The individuals are not charlatans, as Jimmy Wells would have you believe. They're not lunatics. These are people saving lives. And one of the most exciting and successful healing modalities coming from this whole movement is energy medicine. It exists in different forms known by different names. You might have heard emotional freedom techniques, tapping, biofield, energy healing, energy psychology, psychoneuroimmunology, electrodermal therapy, applied kinesiology, therapeutic touch. There are thousands of practitioners, and articles have been published about its efficacy in peer-reviewed, highly respected journals. There's a large body of literature listed on PubMed and the National Library of Medicine. Practitioners have seen remarkable improvements in pain management, which is especially relevant as there's currently a full recognized opiate epidemic in the United States, where more people died, over 70,000 last year, of overdoses than all American casualties in the Vietnam War, exceeding all other accidental causes of death, including car accidents and gunshots. Because even non-opiate pain relievers have an unreasonable death risk. Aspirin can cause bleeding, and ibuprofen causes liver toxicity, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories can cause digestive problems. Any therapy that is natural, non-toxic, that can alleviate suffering is one, I believe, that is reasonable to take a look at, a serious look. Medicine is aware and frequently uses different modalities of energy. One practitioner is Dr. Rick Leskowitz, a medical doctor and board-certified psychiatrist specializing in energy psychiatry and pain management, who has published numerous articles in high-quality peer-reviewed literature. He practiced at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital in Boston, which advocates a body-mind-spirit approach, and was a highly respected non-conventional instructor at the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, where he directed the hospital's Integrative Medicine Task Force. He also held appointments at Tufts Medical School. He's organized several conferences in complementary and alternative medicine and rehabilitation, and is one of the acknowledged leaders in the field. In short, he's an expert. Yet, Jimmy Wales has attacked Leskowitz and thousands of other clinicians, and many board certified, who ask for fairness and proof in coverage of energy psychology on Wikipedia, instead of the ad hominem vicious attacks from the skeptic editors currently dominating medical articles on that site. When there are thousands of individuals using and benefiting from a therapy, when doctors and patients both acknowledge its benefits, and the peer-reviewed literature and studies also acknowledge its benefits, how can Wikipedia's editors claim there's no scientific merit? What have they published in the field? Who have they interviewed? What studies have they done? How about none? They have opinions, and they expect the person going to Wikipedia to respect that their opinions, with no expertise in the field, should be held in a higher standard of trust than the thousands, tens of thousands of clinicians and the tens of millions of people who benefited. Yet Wells, supported by a small coterie of skeptics, says all of these people, all their patients, all their studies, all their peer-reviewed literature, all of their respected scientific publications are all wrong, even delusional. Wells goes a step further in his response to the petition for fair and neutral scientifically informed coverage from the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology and says, quote, no, you have to be kidding me. Every single person who signed this petition needs to go back and check their premises and think harder about what it means to be honest, factual, truthful, end quote. Wikipedia's policies around this kind of thing are greatly spot on and correct. If you can get your work published in a respected scientific journal, that is to say, if you can produce evidence through replicable scientific experiments, then Wikipedia will cover it appropriately. What we won't do is pretend that the work of lunatic charlatans is the equivalent of true scientific discourse. It isn't, end quote. Let's go back here a moment. So Wikipedia is saying Wikipedia policies around this kind of thing are exactly spot on and correct. If you can get your work published in respected scientific journals, that is to say, if you can produce evidence through the replicable scientific experiments, then Wikipedia will cover it appropriately. Well, that's not true. Time and time again, they have shown inherent built-in bias. This has been brought to their attention. Hence, please listen. When you have been corrected repeatedly, when multiple sources of scientists and physicians and others have said and shown you the evidence that your editors are using bias and not science, giving their opinion when the peer-reviewed literature shows evidence to the contrary, then that's malice aforethought. Remember that term, malice aforethought. So, who should we believe? No, it's simple. Is Jimmy Wales a board-certified psychiatrist? Are any of his skeptics? Have any of them published positive results in peer-reviewed literature from well-designed randomized controlled trials, the gold standard of clinical studies? Have they presented their progress before large scientific conferences? The answer is no, not once. All that this group has is their unmitigated disdain and loathing of something they seem incapable of or uninterested in understanding, and yet they condemn, attack, vilify those who would investigate this promising field, smearing the scientific pioneers with impunity. We will now cite some of the peer-reviewed literature that it's obvious Jimmy Wales and his skeptic friends and editors either have not sought out or have chosen to discount in spite of its undeniable merit. The following articles have all been published in respected peer-reviewed scientific journals and are available on the government's own Library of Medicine PubMed website. A 2016 review of the literature found that while, quote, most novel interventions for post-traumatic stress disorder treatment have not demonstrated efficacy, four body-mind-body techniques, acupuncture, emotional freedom technique, mantra-based meditation, and yoga had, quote, moderate quality evidence from mostly small to moderate-sized randomized clinical trials and were worthy of further study. Also, the efficacy of 15 emerging interventions for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, a systematic review published in the Journal of Traumatic Stress online. One such trial was conducted in 2012, in a study of veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder in which the experimental group received six-hour-long tapping treatment, 86% no longer met the criteria for the disorder after six sessions. 86% success. Only 4% of the controls no longer met the criteria. Those in the experimental group also demonstrated improvements in depression, quote, mental quality of life. So, this was a peer-reviewed study. Healing touch with guided imagery for post-traumatic stress disorder in returning active duty military, a randomized controlled trial. That was a peer-reviewed study. Another review of randomized controlled trials of tapping found, quote, strong effect sizes and other positive statistical results that are far exceeding chance after relatively few treatment sessions, end quote. Henry Grayson is a past president of the American, American Psychological Association. Anyhow, he was the one that I first heard about tapping, and I actually took a person to him and filmed him because this is a person that had been through so many psychiatrists and therapies and was not able to be healed from an early life trauma. Henry worked on him twice. It was gone. And it stayed gone. Well, that's something because Henry didn't know the person. I was there. I sat there and watched it. Another review of randomized controlled trials of tapping found the same results. And this is in the Review of General Psychology, one of the most respected publications out there. A 2017 randomized controlled trial comparing energy psychology to cognitive behavioral therapy found the former to be at least as effective in treating patients with agoraphobia, indicating, quote, may be an efficient treatment. All right? And that was a randomized controlled study with a 12-month follow-up. That was in Frontiers of Psychology. And one trial of Reiki's effects on post-operative pain in knee surgery patients found statistically significant reductions in pain levels and was so successful the hospital actually established a Reiki program and training and certification to its nurses in the therapy. And that was published in Nursing, one of the most respected journals out there. Another review of biofield therapy effectiveness in mental health treatment found, quote, biofield therapies show safety and promise in reducing anxiety, improving mood, and cultivating mental health and wellness. And again, that was a randomized study. And that was mental health nursing. Energy psychology compared favorably with other modalities in treating anxiety in particular. A meta-analysis in 2016 found that the energy psychology is associated with, quote, significant treatment effect when patients are compared with baseline or compared with control conditions and may possess significant practical advantages to public health outcomes, end quote, compared with psychotherapeutic interventions. And that was important. That was in the Journal of Nerve and Mental Disorders. Several systemic reviews have come to the same conclusion. A randomized controlled trial of emotional freedom techniques, that's tapping, found improvements in depression, anxiety, and overall symptoms of severity. The effectiveness of emotional freedom technique for improving the physical, mental, and emotional health of people with chronic diseases was the title of that article. And that was, again, in a major peer-reviewed journal. In 2015, a meta-analysis found a moderate effect size of the tapping across 18 separate areas. And there have been multiple studies, Journal of Behavioral Therapy and the Journal of Experimental Psychiatry, both had positive studies. Another study found evidence of, quote, one-time community leader-facilitated TFT interventions as the tapping may be beneficial with protracted PTS in genocide survivors, end quote. That was in the current Research in Psychology journal. I have a whole computer right now filled with these in front of me. I just want to let you know that for those who say it doesn't exist, it does. The peer-reviewed literature, the controlled studies, the positive outcomes at centers throughout the United States and around the world. And yet, we would be led to believe if we looked on Wikipedia at people who didn't interview any of these people or their patients or were part of their trials that none of this exists, that these are all charlatans, lunatics. Yeah, well, they're not. So the entire article was published on PRN.fm. In fact, we have an exhaustive review of 60-plus research papers and peer-reviewed journals acknowledging that, quote, a staggering 98% efficacy rate with the use of these procedures from psychological distress, meaning post-traumatic stress disorder, phobias, anxiety, depression, etc., to physical conditions, asthma, fibromyalgia, pain, seizure disorders, etc., to performance issues, athletic, academic, but points to, quote, a proliferation of double-blind randomized controlled studies, the gold standard of research investigations, demonstrates a high evidence base for this therapy. That's 60 separate papers there. Just look it up for yourself, the Emotional Freedom Technique. Quote, this is an article titled, Finally Unifying Theory for the Practice of Holistic Nursing. That's Journal of Holistic Nursing. And because of this list, which includes just a few of the more than 215 studies that we read and we accepted, it says nothing of over 13,000 studies. I repeat, 13,000 studies on PubMed, including not only primary studies, but also meta-analysis and reviews. And there are more that equate to meeting Wikipedia's, quote, medicine reliable sources criteria, the highest standard of, quote, reliable sources by which Wikipedia supposedly measures all contributions to its medical articles. That this large body of literature, 13,000 articles, is dismissed out of hand from PubMed, the government's own publication site, by Wikipedia editorial elite is puzzling. If one thinks of Wikipedia editors as merely a disparate group of individuals interested in building a neutral, fact-based encyclopedia. Only when one understands that the stewards of Wikipedia are engaged in a deliberate campaign of biased suppression of truths does this refusal to allow these top-quality articles into their encyclopedia make sense. Who are these skeptics? Who have appointed themselves the gatekeepers of lay medical knowledge? More people get their medical information through Wikipedia than even the most prestigious scientific journals. After all, and Wikipedia prides itself on being a one-stop knowledge shop for the rest of the Internet. And for this reason, it's imperative to examine who these people are who have set themselves up as the modern oracles of Delphi, declaring unilaterally what is and is not true according to an opaque and constantly shifting set of rules. Even the gatekeepers of orthodox medicine have been forced to grudgingly admit that energy medicine is a promising, incredible discipline worthy of further study. The American Psychological Association has, since 2012, permitted ACEP to deliver continuing education credits for psychologists, a process that took 5 years of appeals, but in which they eventually prevailed due to the strength of their science. Biofield therapies, after all, are not new. Energy psychology, by its various names, is merely one of the first attempts by Western medicine to use a force the rest of the world has long believed in indispensable to healing. Prana, or qi, has been central to traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years. In Western medicine, we're so interested in breaking everything down that we end up looking at people like they were machines. But this whole energy process is really the link between mind and body, so says Professor Leskowitz. Wikipedia skeptics elite, however, are unwilling to accept that there is any validity to any form of complementary and alternative healing and medicine. Their dogmatic rigidity goes far beyond the institutional caution of the National Academy of Sciences or other august bodies set up as gatekeepers to the medical establishment. Indeed, they feel they know better than those revered institutions. At Wikipedia, there's no such thing as evidence-based alternative healing. There's only orthodoxy. But our deep experience in interviewing thousands of physicians over the decades challenges that concept. Physicians risk their income and reputation by forging the standard operating procedures and medical industrial complex and trying new therapies. Yet they do so anyway, no matter the cost to their careers and reputations. If orthodox medicine was all that it was supposed to be, there would be no need to have any form of alternative approach. Indeed, in conversations with so many physicians, I have found that they only sought alternative protocols when the treatments they were conditioned to try didn't work, because they felt the patient was not benefiting or even being harmed. They risked their own standing in the medical community to seek truths elsewhere. In conclusion, Wikipedia would have us believe that there is only one truth in all of healthcare, the orthodox approach. whether pharmaceuticals or surgery or some other technology, that's their answer to every single disease. If it doesn't help the patient, where they don't get well, they even get worse, it's not the doctor's fault, it's not the medication's fault, it's not even the protocol's fault, it's the patient's fault. And that rigidly reductionistic Newtonian Inquisition mindset, there's not even a desire or will to set up gold standard double-blind placebo-controlled studies to prove or disprove every single point of treatment. Science, however, legitimate independent science that isn't influenced or corrupted by proprietary interest or self-serving agendas or profit, has shown just the opposite to be true, with hundreds of thousands of studies published by some of the most revered institutions and journals in the world, written by some of its leading scientists and scholars. In some cases, there are tens of thousands of studies showing the benefits of a single nutrient like curcumin or vitamin C. Hence, the physician or therapist who is using these is relying upon sound, qualified peer-reviewed science, as well as their own intrinsic clinical observations. Time and again, physicians will say, "I was able to help a patient using this therapy because I had no success with what I was taught in medical school." We've taken the time over the years to study the Library of Medicine in the National Academy of Sciences archives on these issues, and we've absolutely been dumbfounded that such a mountain of evidence can be ignored by Wikipedia. What qualifications do these editors possess that sets them above Harvard Medical School, Yale, Columbia, Princeton, above journals like Nature, Science, and the New England Journal of Medicine? Indeed, the other side of the question becomes, why aren't more doctors using these therapies? It's not a question of whether there's a legitimate science to prove that a given therapy works. We can see the overwhelming abundance of evidence, but that's only half the equation. The other half of the equation is that the Journal of the American Medical Association itself, one of the most prestigious medical journals published today, has acknowledged full out that the third leading cause of death in the United States is iatrogenesis, or medically induced. Our careful breakdown of the statistics on medically induced death shows the number is far higher. Using conservative figures, we found that close to 1 million iatrogenic deaths occur every year. That's a truly staggering figure that is more than the casualties of heart disease or cancer, the CDC's two leading causes of death. And because the CDC has no death certificate code for iatrogenic causes, many avoidable deaths by medicine are lost in paperwork and classified as something else and filed away, only for the fatal mistake to be repeated on another hapless patient in the future. Orthodox medicine is responsible for these deaths, for the use of medications that should never have been approved, or medical procedures that should have never been allowed but still persisted for decades after it was acknowledged they were no miracle treatments. Jimmy Wells and his skeptic hordes refuse to acknowledge either side of this equation, both a vast mountain of evidence that these therapies work, good, published in scientific journals, and the equally vast quantities of evidence against about 80% of what counts for orthodox medicine fails, with deadly results. We absolutely support and respect emergency medicine. Our system does urgent care very well, providing truly top-notch outcomes for patients suffering from heart attacks and strokes and burns and severed limbs and other sudden-onset life-threatening conditions. There we excel, and I commend science for that. But these represent only 12% of modern care. The vast majority of chronic care, including cancer, heart disease, mental illness, inflammatory conditions, we fail miserably. Extrapolating our figures of 987,507 iatrogenic deaths per year over the last 40 years, we see tens of millions of deaths that were avoidable, hundreds of millions of injuries that were preventable. Up to this moment, there have been no concerted effort to change or even challenge the protocols and procedures, the therapies and pharmacological approaches to reverse this deadly trend. Why haven't the skeptics been as adamant in their criticism and their scathing personal attacks against doctors at major institutions who promote the use of therapies that don't work and are harmful. At the same time, they're recommending therapies that should be challenged. Here we are faced with the dilemma of the whistleblower. An honest employee working in a corporation or a government agency that finds corruption and malfeasance and reports it to the appropriate authorities only be criminally charged and punished for violating corporate and government secrecy in order to report a much greater crime. The whistleblower goes to jail for reporting on a crime, but the people committing the crime continue to amass huge sums of money and power and are protected. Wikipedia refused to acknowledge how bad medicine is, then refused to acknowledge how it could be improved to actually help people. What motivates this type of denialism, this aggressive pursuit of vengeance against all who would call out the medical system for its abuses? Why have the media and the government allowed such dishonest behavior in the public sphere? Wikipedia's editors hide behind anonymous usernames, yet we trust them as the stewards of medical knowledge. This is preposterous. A medical publication would never publish an article with an anonymous author. Its sources of funding were concealed. If author's political or financial affiliations left off the page, what if every scientist journal and scientific journal or body operated in such an obscurity? People would be outraged, and rightfully so. You want me to believe an article where the person hides their identity and affiliations? The usurpation of this medical authority by a totally unaccountable group of ideological-driven individuals operating in the shadows is surely the most remarkable intellectual deception in American history. And finally, before anyone supports, reads, contributes, or believes anything on Wikipedia, they might stop to think why a site supposedly dedicated to collecting and sharing the sum total of the world's knowledge has seen fit to censor so much of it, and marvel at who these apparently omnipotent skeptics are that they feel they know more than the National Academy of Sciences, Harvard Medical School, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Nature Magazine, Science Magazine, The Lancet, the British Medical Journal, and every other prestigious scientific institution and publication that has stamped its acceptance on holistic and complementary therapies, testifying to their value and validity. Wikipedia's ruling elite know that millions more people visit this site than will ever read a study in these journals, no matter how important, in any scientific journal, even the most prestigious. Their decision to deliberately conceal at the most promising advances in evidence-based medicine today and to viciously attack those who attempt to bring these advances to the public's attention is anti-scientific in the extreme. Anyone engaging with real science knows there is always more to discover and that even the most solid theories are never set in stone. The skeptic's hollow parody of science is just religious dogma for secularists. They have truly set themselves up as the modern Inquisition, and its enlightened medical professionals willing to look beyond their rigid dogma who are being burnt at the stake. Back in a moment.
Gary, I've been listening to your show since 1980, and the education that you and Dr. Feldman gave me changed my life. I am now living in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the long winter months and less daylight leave me with the need for artificial light for reading and artwork. My question is about light bulbs. I hear so much conflicting information, and I worry about the health of my eyes and the environment when disposing of them. What is the best choice? Thank you, Gary, for all you do.
Okay, well, we've been led to believe that the best lighting is LED lighting. It is not. It's toxic. It's dangerous. A fluorescent or incandescent lamp claimed to be full spectrum can cost several times as much as one with nearly identical spectral power distribution, or what's called SPD, that is not identified as full spectrum. So the question then is, what are we getting for this extra money? Well, if you look at the full spectrum light sources, and you look at the different websites, and you look at the science, generally it's improved color perception, improved visual clarity, improved mood, improved productivity and mental awareness, and better plant growth, that's for sure, and results of light therapy in treating seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and improved results in light therapy for sleep disorders, and improved scholastic performance of students, and improved vitamin D synthesis in the body, even reduces incidence of dental decay. And I would stay away from the blue LED. In fact, even the American Medical Association warned about its health problems. And a study was published, I believe it was in Environmental Science and Technology, that LEDs contain lead and arsenic and dozens of other potentially dangerous substances, and worst offenders were low-intensity red LEDs, which were found to contain up to 800% more lead, and that's a known neurotoxin. And that was allowed by California state law, in which, according to researchers, it exhibited significant cancer and non-cancer potentials due to its high content of lead. And so LEDs contain, white LEDs contain the least lead, but are still harbor large amounts of nickel and other heavy metals, so I wouldn't recommend those. And copper is found in some LED that can pose environmental threats and accumulate in our environment. And also, we now suffer from what is known as light pollution caused by artificial lighting that reduces the production of the hormone melatonin by the brain's pineal gland, and that can cause cancer and other diseases, and that's led to new research into which types of electric bulbs cause less. And because LED lighting is so concentrated and has high blue content, it can cause severe glare, resulting in constriction in the eyes, blood vessel constriction, and blue light scatters more in the human eye than the longer wavelengths of yellow and red, and also can disturb autistic kids especially. So never have any form of LED lighting around children, especially children who may be diagnosed with some form of learning disability or autism spectrum disorder. Okay, so the old-fashioned full-spectrum light is the best for that. We'll take one more call.
So, Gary, this is Tony from Lafayette, New Jersey, and I'm looking for a bank or a credit union where I can open up a checking account and a savings account. I know you mentioned you shouldn't really do business with any of the big banks. Right now I have accounts with Chase and Bank of America. Hoping you can give us a suggestion.
Well, first, go online and look up some of the high-rated credit unions. They're all insured by the NCUA, and I think one of them's covered by the FDIC. And it depends upon where you live. If you live in Chicago, there's a very popular one there, Alliant, A-L-L-I-N-T. There's First Tech. In Oregon, there's a lot of them. In California, there's what's called Golden One, and there's America First in Utah. Let me see, there's Boeing's Employees Credit Union. By the way, that's not actually owned by Boeing, and that is FDIC. In Florida, there's Suncoast, and let me just think where else. In Arizona, there's Hughes. And then the State Department Federal Credit Union, and that's a good one. In New York City, you have TFCU, and let me think where else. So those are just some, but look up the rating and make sure that you see their full prospectus and what you want. You don't want to put your money where they're doing any investments in any ventures. You want one that sticks with just savings. That's it. And a savings loan and no business ventures, because that's when they start playing in the same big league with the same capacity to lose everything. And they don't have the backup. They don't have enough to sustain any major risk venture they take. So make sure that it's strictly a credit union that does savings. That's the key. And then look at what kind of reserves they have and look at their history over the past, let's say, 30 years. Okay. We're out of time, everyone. I want to thank you for calling in. Never know what's coming. Always happy to address them if I can. Have a nice day, everyone.